to the senior luncheon after church today. It has been canceled for today. So, does everybody have that? I'm afraid to look at people because he thinks I'm a senior. It's like, hey, when I turned 50, I could not believe it. Like 2 weeks after, in the mail, AARP was after me. I thought, my goodness, they must be really stressing for candidates because they're chasing them young now. Maybe there's some people who retire early nowadays. I don't know. As I've told my wife, and she's somewhat happy, but sometimes, you know, she would like to maybe just find some, you know, some bungalow on the beach somewhere and not have to do anything anymore. But as far as I'm concerned, and this is, you know, I think pretty biblical, retirement is not really a Christian idea. Retirement is more of like a thing of the world, I believe. Because see, when we retire is when this body's put to rest. And really, we don't retire. We graduate into the greatest life in God that we can ever live. Amen. Because we're going to live forever. We're going to have an adventure that we can't even begin to even understand with our own mind what it's like. So retirement, I don't believe in it. I'll just put it that way. How many believe in retirement? All the retired ones. You know what? Retired to the fact where you're not going to be working at, after 65. I don't have a problem with that. But I believe that after you're retired, you have your greatest opportunity to be used by God. Amen. That your some of your greatest days are right there. Because you're not having to go click a clock from 8 to 5. You're able to say, okay, Lord, what is it that you want me to do today? Where can I go for you? Who can I speak to for you? So let's not get caught up in worldly ideas and worldly patterns and then just model our Christian life after those. That's not the way it works. We're to take the Bible, and the Bible says basically to run a race. Now, I don't know about you, but in a race, I don't think you actually stop. Anybody? I mean, unless you want to not finish. Now, some will say, well, that's just talking about our Christian life. Well, I don't know about you, but running takes effort. And I think running the race means that we stay in the race. We stay involved. I wasn't meaning to preach the senior message today, but never mind. Because I was going to share with them. Maybe now that they've heard that, it's like, oh, I'm not going to go to that one. All of a sudden, it's just a couple of us. Okay. I'm kidding. Help me, Lord. Help us, Lord. I have not really a message today, but it probably will turn into a message. They always do. But what it's about is we have had Saturday night prayer here for probably 4 years now, 3 or 4 years now, and we've met at 6 o'clock, and Saturday night prayer has been some amazing times. We've had as many as 30 to 40 people here. Most of the time, it's between, 6 to 10 people, and maybe a dozen. And over the past year, God's been really doing things inside of me, in my heart, in my thinking. You've heard me preach on it on certain Sundays, different topics and different, I would say, revelations that I've had. And with prayer, it has become in kind of the same way as anything can become. It's kind of become like, even though I love it, and whoever comes, I'm sure they all enjoy it, but it's kind of become like where people come and gather at the building. And over the past like 4 or 5 months, I've had the opportunity, just mainly men. We've had some couples over to our home, and we've prayed with them when they've come, but mainly men. I've been gathering and just meeting sometimes one-on-one, a couple at a time, and sometimes all we do is just pray together. And I'm here to tell you, God is doing something in that. And I don't know why. I mean, I wish I could give you 100 biblical reasons. But I think it has to do with, number one, fellowship. I think it has to do with us connecting together. I think it has to do with that unity that starts taking place when you start praying together, when you start just lifting your hearts up to the Lord together. And I've seen it like change people. I've seen it change me, and it's inspired me to change the way that we do Saturday night prayer. And I've been praying about this for now about 2 months, and it's been a struggle, because it's like there's a statement that as a matter of fact, he's going to be here next month. His name is Bruce Allen, and he makes a statement that is so true, and he calls it the tyranny of the familiar. And what it means is that we become so used to something, we become so ingrained in it, it becomes so ingrained in us that it's hard to change. And we've met at staff, and we've talked about, okay, so is it going to be this Saturday? It's like, oh, we have all this stuff to do. And so really we started talking about, well, if we try to do it Thanksgiving, then that's going to, you know, it's just like, just to get together and pray, we're like trying to, you know, have a committee meeting over it. It's craziness. But we did end up waiting until this time of the year where I could share on a Sunday, because I think you really needed to hear my heart. And over the past 2 to 3 weeks, I've been getting a vision of what I really believe Saturday night prayer is supposed to be. And it's not going to be just, you know, the pastor's doing something, just the staff doing something. It's meant for us as a body of believers, a family of believers, to do something together. And what it is that on Saturday, instead of meeting here at the church, we're going to meet in homes around the valley. Different homes. Call them host homes. And I know some people say, well, what are we going to do? I mean, you can start going, what if? But I really want God to work out the details. Because we can sit there and we can, you know, which we have done before, and staff start talking about, what about this? What about that? And it's like you kind of stifle the inspiration that's going on in your heart. Does anybody ever relate? You know, you start getting inspired by God and you start trying to do something. You start running into all the different what ifs. This could happen, that could happen. Instead of just, you know, walking out and let God work out the details. Because, I mean, that's pretty much the way that Sunday morning has been going. So why is Saturday night prayer going to be any different? And so I started getting this vision as we've been praying on Saturdays and Wednesday morning prayer, of these homes blazing on fire, and as these prayer meetings start. And, you know, right now I'm thinking of just one home on a Saturday night, you know, whoever goes, you know, so your home has to be able to hold people. You probably want to make sure that, you know, you don't have a one place to park in, you know, in a mile. That's going to be really difficult too. So, you know, even though you might desire it, you might want to maybe work with somebody else who has a place, and you can help host it with them. But the point being is, I started seeing these homes ablaze and on fire. And I mean, every time I pray, like, oh man, God, that's really good. And I see it in my heart. I mean, I don't see it visually. But I wanted to try to communicate to you. Now, this is over the top fire. I'm just going to tell you. I did a video. It's over the top. But the point being, it's what I saw. I saw different places in the valley, like homes ablazing, homes on fire, with the power of God, with the glory of God, with the anointing of God, with the presence of God. And how many know that in the presence of God, there's fullness of joy, there's transformation that comes to our lives, there's unity that comes to our hearts, there's all kinds of things that take place that go beyond, you know, the natural. It's supernatural. It's not of this world, it's of the kingdom of God. And, you know, the Bible's very clear about not forsaking the assembling together of yourselves, as the manner of some is. And, you know, a lot of people say, I'm here Sunday morning. What do you mean? I'm here. You know, that hour and a half is God's, you know. But that's not what that's talking about. That's not talking about, they didn't have organized church back then. He was talking about where he goes on to talk about and daily provoke each other, daily encourage each other. I mean, I can't sit there and say, okay, we're going to write out a schedule and you're all going to be meeting, you know, every day. But we have to start somewhere. Because I believe that 2012 is a year of God pouring out his Spirit on us, releasing his power in our lives. As I preached the very beginning of the year, 2012, a supernatural odyssey. A journey that we're going to go on together with significant events along the way. Just like today, just like last week. I don't know if you guys realize it, but some of those folks who talk today, they're not going to be the same. They truly will not be the same. They broke out of something that the enemy can't hold them back anymore. He cannot keep them chained to their own fears. Would you agree, Jay? Did you walk out of here with like a release off of your life? Now, I mean, it doesn't mean his life's perfect. You know, I wish being a pastor of a church meant my life was perfect. It's not. Far from it. You know, it has all of the issues that you deal with in life. But there is a passion that you get to have when you step out in obedience. There's a fulfillment, as I was telling the younger ones, that you have, that you don't have any other way. So with that said, I'm going to read a scripture, because I said, Lord, I have to have Bible. And I mean, I was like, Lord, I mean, I was looking last night again, all the things on, you know, fire and everything, and nothing clicked. And then this morning, just the Lord just reminded me of this passage, and I preached on this a couple of years ago from the standpoint of her persistence. But today I want to point out another fact that I think is just as, I guess you could say, important in this story or parable. It says, one day Jesus told, this is Luke 18, chapter 18, sorry, verse 1. One day Jesus told his disciples a story to illustrate their need for constant prayer. Say with me, constant prayer. Their need for constant prayer. And to show them that they must never give up. There was a judge in a certain city, he said, who was a godless man with great contempt for everyone. A widow of that city came to him repeatedly, appealing for justice against someone who had harmed her. The judge ignored her for a while, but eventually she wore him out. I fear neither God nor man, he said to himself, but this woman is driving me crazy. I'm going to see that she gets justice because she is wearing me out with her constant requests. Now that message right there is a message of importunity because Jesus is talking about constant prayer. He's talking about never giving up. And so right there, that's a message in itself, that we should not let the enemy, our fears, the issues of life, keep us from asking God for what we know he's giving us. Because there's many promises in the Word that are promises. They're yes and amen. They're not question marks. I believe our health in God, our life in God, our peace in God, our joy in God, our gifts of God. And when we stay in Christ, when we stay focused on him, I will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind, whose heart, imagination is set on me. That's a promise that we continue to press in. But listen to this. Jesus goes on to say, then the Lord said in verse 6, learn a lesson from this evil judge. Even he rendered a just decision in the end. So don't you think God will surely give justice to his chosen people who plead with him day and night while he keep putting them off? Will he keep putting them off? There we go. That makes sense. I'm like, wow, who put that there? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will grant justice to them quickly. Now, here's the part I want to talk about today. But, when I, the Son of Man, return, how many will I find who have faith? The New King James says it this way. Says here, oops, where is it? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? Now that challenges me. Because in the illustration of persistent prayer, constant prayer, never giving up prayer, Jesus makes a statement, am I going to find faith? So to me, I make the correlation, which I think is valid, that if we're not praying, there's a lack of faith in our life. If we're not seeking God for our needs and the needs of others, interceding for others, then there's a lack of faith in our life. And Jesus is going to be looking for faith when he comes back. Now, I don't know what all that means. I just know it's Bible. When the Son of Man returns, will he find faith on the earth? Now, I would like to be a house of believers that he finds faith in. I would like to be a house of believers where he finds pleasure in us. Not just because he loves us, because he loves everyone, but because we're believing him, we're seeking him, we're desiring him. So I put together a little short video, and I had some help from Eric, but I wanted to illustrate what I saw. And again, this is Hollywoodized, this is sensationalized, but it gives a clear, I think, picture of what I'm seeing in my spirit. So I'm going to ask you to pause at a certain point. Now this is a house. Notice the song? I think that's no accident. So this is a praying home. This is one of the homes that I saw. Praying going on in the home. And like fire coming out. That's what I saw in my spirit. Fire in this home. Fire burning in this home. Go ahead and pause. So you're saying, well, that's really sensationalized. That house is burning. Well, what I'm trying to show is that there's something going on inside. And it's literally portraying itself on the outside. Now, we don't see this. But folks, when we pray, there's things that go on. There are things that go on that we don't see with our natural eyes. If we had supernatural eyes, spiritual eyes, we could see them. I think of a story in the Bible where there's this whole group of people, I think it's the Syrian army, come, and they're gonna get, I think it's Elisha, is it Elisha or Elijah? Bible scholars. Anyway, it's one of the Shuz or Joes. Anyway, he is in his house, and his servant is saying, "Oh, master man, you got to come out and see this. We are in trouble because the whole army's here to get you." And he goes, "Oh, don't worry about it." "What? Don't worry about it? I mean, you've got to see this army. It's huge. I mean, it must be like five columns of men. I mean, they've got weapons, and we're done." He goes, no, there's more with us than them." "What?" He says, "Yeah, just watch." And he says, "Lord, open his eyes." And he looks on the hills, and it's covered with the armies of God, the forces of God. And the servant goes, "Oh, okay, we're good." But that was a supernatural, eye-opening experience for that man. But Elijah knew that they were there. He had that, I think it's Elisha, knew in his heart that they were there. It was Elisha. I know it is now. I just put the history together. Anyway, because it was whatever his name, it starts with a G, that saw that. And later on, he ends up getting leprosy. So anyway, you can read about that in the Bible. It's in Kings. Okay, anyway. The point being, somebody's going like, "What is he? Is he schizophrenic?" Yeah, a little bit. But the point being is that there was a supernatural event that was taking place that could not be seen with the natural eye. That's what that is. That's why the Lord put that in my heart. As we gather together and pray, when we gather on Wednesday mornings downstairs and we pray, and sometimes, you know, we feel the glory of God, other times we don't. It doesn't matter what we feel. It matters who we're talking to and who we are. See, we have the Holy Spirit in us. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is in us. And when we pray in unity and our hearts connect, God does things supernaturally. And I'm sure if we could see with our eyes, we'd see all kinds of things going on. We have to just believe by faith. But just because we can't see it doesn't mean it's not there. I mean, the air right now that you're breathing, you can't see it, can you? But it is there. Gravity, we can't see it, but it does work, right? Jump off a 20-story building and you'll find out it is there. My point being is just because we don't see it doesn't mean it's not there. And God, for whatever reason, in his wisdom, not my wisdom, but in his wisdom, he put that in my heart that I could see it in my spirit. Do you see what I'm saying? I wish I could see with my natural eyes, but I can't see with my natural eyes right now. That doesn't mean I'm not going to. I don't want to sit there and start prophesying false things to me, because I believe we're living in an hour where God's going to cause us to see clearly more things than we ever have seen before. That the supernatural and the natural are going to somehow get closer together. And I don't want to get into all that. My point being is that if we become homes of prayer, and I don't mean just on that Saturday night, I mean after people leave, I see the family going, what happened? A host home goes, what happened? I experienced something God I never had before. And the husband and wife, the kids are going to say, let's pray tonight, see if it happens. And it's going to happen again. And the house is going to be burning the next night. The house is going to be burning the next night. And the next time they have prayer, it's going to be burning even hotter because they're already on fire and we're just going to come and add coals to that fire. Are you guys seeing it? Okay, go ahead and keep playing. So this is a home. It's on fire. They're praying. Let's just say that this home is in the Yakima Valley. Now this is where it gets really sensationalized. But picture this, the lower valley, some home out there says, I want that. And they start praying. And they start believing God. And we start gathering there. And God's presence starts to come. And there's like a fire burning in that home. And you know, it spreads. It spread really fast here, but it spreads. You get the picture. It spreads. And it's contagious. Then the next home is in Moxie or somewhere in Terrace Heights. And they start praying. And that area starts to be consumed with the presence of God. You know, it only took 120 on Pentecost for a revival to come that we are still living in. Tyatin, some homes say, we want that same thing. And they start to pray. And Tyatin starts to become on fire. You're saying, Pastor Mike, you're pretty wild. Yeah, but God's bigger than this. I can tell you, he wants more than that. I see Yakima, a place that's an inferno. It's burning. It's on fire with hearts after God. You know, set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain, I can't control. I mean, that'd be wild right there. Now, if that was a literal fire, we'd have problems. But the supernatural power of God, that's going to bring healings. That's going to cause people to see God who haven't seen God before. That's going to allow people to realize the kingdom of God is a reality and it's not false, it's true. The whole place starting to burn. The whole place. This is what I've seen in my spirit. That there's a move of God that happens. And I'm not saying it's just us. It can be other churches. See, this isn't just happening in my heart. I believe today some other churches, other pastors are standing up saying not the exact same thing, but similar things. That God's no respecter of persons. He sees that man who prays on Sunday morning and he gives them a message. And as they speak, he starts to intervene. I believe that this is going to be Yakima on fire. Set hearts, our hearts set ablaze for God. Can you agree with me? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Let your will be done. Let your will be done, Lord. Let your will be done, Lord. Let your kingdom come in our lives, Lord. Let your kingdom come in our homes, Lord. Let the power of God be released. Thank you, Jesus. Well, I have a sign-up sheet here. I'm going to pass this around. Try to move it around as fast as you can. And I've got next Saturday through March 17th. We're going to have our transforms in March, so I stopped it there. We'll add some more once we know for sure those dates. I'll pass this around again. But next Saturday night, we're starting. And we'll go wherever someone opens their home. And I know there could be issues with kids. So if you're afraid that some kids might come, and some children, then you might want to think about, because I don't know who's going to come. If you can host, a whole family and families, man, sign up. If you just got to say, my house isn't that big, but I really feel like the Lord wants me to do this, then put your name down. He'll work out the details. He will work out the details. Because I believe that this is going to start a fire down in our souls, in this house, in our hearts, that we can't contain. We're not going to be able to control it. I mean, we get a little glimpse on Sunday morning, but there's restraints. There's things that hold us back, that keep us from being able, I think, to do all that God wants to do. So I'm going to pass this around. Just pass it if you're not interested. If you are interested, pick a date that works, put your address down, your contact information, and we will see God do great things. Can you put that back on? No sound. Just let it continue to run. Now, I want to make a confession here, as I think confession is good for the soul. I love prayer. That's not a confession. That's a statement of truth. And I mean, I really enjoy praying. When I get with other brothers and sisters, when I pray with my wife, I mean, we love praying together. I pray with other brothers. But I'll tell you what, man, as a pastor, that is my number one struggle. I'm just being honest here. Yeah. So I'm, what? I mean, when I pray with others, when I pray, when I'm just, worshiping the Lord and praying, but I mean, having the set schedule, discipline, it has been my number one struggle. Now, there's a statistic out there, I don't know how true it is, but most pastors, I guess maybe they had them write down, some kind of survey, and they were honest, most pastors pray less than 3 minutes a day. 3 minutes a day. And I know some people say, what? Now, reading my word, I love reading my word. I can read my word every day. I can do my one-year Bible. I can do my 90-day challenge. I can do all those things. But I'm just being honest here. I struggle with it. And why am I telling you this? Because I want to be delivered from the struggling. I want to be set into a whole new mode. I want a whole new set of accountability. Now, I watched a video by Mike Bickle. And it's one of the best I've ever heard on prayer. And he says, you can have the most wonderful desire. You can have the greatest, need in your life. But if you don't, have a list and you don't schedule, he says, I know those sound really ritual and they sound, you're only going to pray so much. You're only going to accomplish so much. And so I've started putting a list together like never before. I started building it. It has family and it has church in it. And it's on my iPad, my iPhone, so it's there, and I've been adding to it. And this week, for the first time, our schedules are busy. And it's easy, to get in and read the Word. But when you say, okay, I'm going to have an appointment with God, you're not going to just leave, because something goes haywire. You want to have that appointment with God. So I took my calendar, and I've now scheduled. Sometimes it's during the day, sometimes it's early in the morning, sometimes it's later in the day, and I've scheduled it in a way that I'm going to be accountable to that schedule. And I'm telling you this because prayer is so vital. Those of you who pray with me, you know that I love praying. I love praying. I love when the people of God pray. I love praying by myself. It's not that I hate prayer. I love prayer. It's just that life surrounds you. Issues come up. And if you don't plan, guess what? You don't succeed. And I'm not saying praying in the shower is wrong. And it's, I do. I pray in the shower, pray in the Spirit, pray when I'm driving my car, pray in the morning, talk to the Holy Spirit. But I'm saying time when I literally take that moment and I realize that He's looking for hearts of faith. Individual, nobody else sees in the secret place. In the secret place. Lord, help us and help me, God. Lord, I've admitted, God, my weakness in this area, Lord. And God, I know, Lord, that you are going to come alongside of me and you're going to fortify me, God. You're going to encourage me, Spirit of Living God. You're going to reveal your truth to me about what's even going on when I'm praying. Lord, we want to be people of prayer. We want to be a house of prayer. God, I pray that those, Lord, who struggle likewise, Lord, who maybe, I've had seasons where it's been going all good. I'm not saying that, you know, but I have bad seasons too. I'd want the wishy-washiness to stop. I want to be firm. I want to be solid. I want to be to where, you know, that time comes, God said, oh, there's my man. Anybody else relating? I would say that if that is the statistic for pastors, I don't know what the congregations are like. And then so goes the leadership, so goes the people, so goes the family. And I mean, I can tell you all the good things that you need to do as Christians, but I don't live it. If I don't model it, if we don't truly be who we're called to be in every area of our life. I'm trying to put a guilt trip on. What I'm trying to do is say reality check. Who are we? Are we real people of faith? Or is that, again, that phony faith? That on Sunday we can look good. We can even smell good. We can even sound good. But inside is some dry, dead bones sometimes. I don't want to be the Pharisees and the Sadducees who miss the very presence of Messiah sitting before them because they thought in their own world and not God's. I want the mind of Christ. I want the heart of God. I want to have this fire burning throughout the city. I want to be part of that. So that's why I'm being transparent. I did not know that this is what the message is going to be me saying. I'm weak. But I am. But thank the Lord, his strength is perfected in my weakness. Lord, I just come to you right now, God. Lord, as a man of God who needs you, Lord, to do more in me than you've done before. God, I want my prayer life with you, Lord, to be vibrant and dynamic. Lord, make it like my word life with you. Lord, yes, I know we're communing when I read your word, but God, I want to be, Lord, a man that wears holes in the floor like some of the great men of faith. God, I want to be a man, Lord, that is like George Mueller, who didn't even ask for anything, but you met every need because he lifted his request to you. Lord, I've never truly had it modeled for me. So as the disciples have said, Lord, teach me how to pray. Be my teacher, Holy Spirit. Be our teacher, Holy Spirit. We don't want to just gather on a certain night and have your fire, God. We want your fire to be burning all the time. Lord, help our relationships with you to be true. Lord, that's what you called for, Father. You said that you're looking, you're searching this whole earth for worshipers who will worship you in spirit and in truth. Thank you, Lord, that you love us so much that you let us get beyond our fears. You let us get beyond our insecurities. You let us get beyond, Lord, our reputations. And you let us truly get down to it's about. And that's your kingdom. That's what's important. Set a fire down in our soul, Lord, that we can't contain, that we can't control, God. Burn in us, God. We want more of you. That's you, man. Stand up. I want more of you, God. I want more of you, Lord. I'm not satisfied with where I've been. I'm not satisfied with what I've achieved, Lord. Lord, I want more of you. And I don't want you just on Sunday mornings. I don't want you just, Lord, when it's convenient. God, I want more of you, Lord, when it's difficult. I want more of you, God, when it's uncomfortable. God, I want more of you. Lord, I pray, Lord, that our hearts, Lord, be right before you. God, that we would see this fire burning in our city. God, that you would raise us up, Lord, as warriors, God. Lord, that 24/7 prayer wouldn't have to be something that's organized, God. It would be spontaneous by your people. Jesus, we need you. Holy Spirit, we need you. Father, we need you. Everything that you are, we need you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you are going to answer this prayer. And we're going to be people of faith, that you're going to find faithful in that day when you come back. We'll be crying out to you, looking to you, the author and the finisher of our faith. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. My wife told me 2 Kings 6 is that story. That's the story of Elisha and those warriors, those soldiers that came. So I'm sorry I put you all in shock, knowing that, you know, your pastor has problems. He's not perfect. But guess what? I know the one who is. And he is perfecting me. He is challenging me. He is changing me. He is making me transparent and accountable. Not just to one person, but all those who can pray for me and lift me up so that I can be an example and I can say, follow me as I follow Christ. God bless you all. I love you.